Good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts 9. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, here am I, Lord. And he said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon thy name. The Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. And when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they were also watching the gates day and night so they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had taken and talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Verse 32. Now it came about that as Peter was traveling through all those parts, he came down to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Ananias, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And immediately he arose. And all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, and which she continually did. And it came out at a time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, Do not delay to come to us. And Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping, and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came about that he stayed many days in Joppa with a certain tanner, Simon. Amen. Well, this is the last part here of the third witness, and so we're introduced to Saul now. We actually got introduced to Saul, if you remember, a few chapters before, because he was there when Stephen was being martyred. And so Saul starts, he's persecuting the church. He gets letters from the chief priest because you actually can't bind people without a trial, right? You know, the Jewish legal system is like the American legal system, right? You're innocent before proven guilty. You know, and so, like if you notice, remember in the Gospels, whenever, like, remember they try to bring the woman to Jesus who was in an act of adultery, you know, and they wanted to stone her. That's actually, you can't do that because there must be witnesses that speak out, right? And so, because the Jewish system obviously is based on the foundation of God being a just God. And so in their mind, they thought, well, you know, even if an, you know, because innocent people are guilty, even if a guilty guy was proven innocent, you know, or got away, that person never gets away because God is the judge. You know what I mean? Where in other cultures where God, the God of justice, is not the foundation, right? You're guilty before you're proven innocent because justice is through their hands, right? And so, you know, and the American system is, you know, also kind of built on this Judeo-Christian system. You know, and so recognize that God is the judge, right? God is the one, you know, and even if someone slips through the fingers of the law on this earth, right, when they go to meet the Lord, right, they're going to pay the price. And so you can see how even legal systems are shifted by having a God-centric foundation, right? And so it's quite important. So you can't even do this. I mean, they're breaking laws, right? And they'll break another law in a second here. And so he comes, and he's on the road to Damascus, and a light comes out, right? Saul is pressed to the ground, and this very interesting voice cries out, and he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You know, and Saul says, "Well, who are you?" You know, says, "Hey, man, I'm Jesus, whom you have been persecuting." Now, this should give us a little bit of insight on how God is walking with us today. Right? Now, Saul was not persecuting Jesus, right? He's already gone, right? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Saul was persecuting Christians. But Jesus says, "You are persecuting me," right? This should really give us a little insight of about our daily life. You know, when you're suffering, Jesus is suffering. When you're sad, Jesus is sad. You know, we talked about it yesterday a bit, right? That because your prayers are not being, it doesn't mean God has forgotten you or God has rejected you. You know, when you cry, Jesus is crying. You know, when you feel, you know, dejected and alone, Jesus is feeling dejected and alone. You know, he never stopped being Emmanuel. You know what I mean? Like when he went to heaven, he never changed his name. You know, the role never changed. He's still the God. Excuse me. He's still the God that's with us. You know, and so, you know, and when you're in despair and crying out to the Lord, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is right there with you. Right? This is incredible insight. You know, the book of Hebrews, you know, he tells us, right, that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things, just like us, yet without sin. So therefore, let's run to the throne of grace and find mercy, you know, grace, thank you, brother, right? Grace in our time of need. Was that Stanley? Wow, praise God. What's up, man? I'm just kidding. Stanley actually is quite brilliant sometimes. And so, you know, and I mean, this is, you know, so Jesus is so connected with our humanity, you know. Don't think that just because he went to heaven, right, that he's not in tune with who we are and what we're feeling and what's going on. You know, he turns to Saul and says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting the Christians?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And so when the believers, when they were getting persecuted, right, when they were feeling, you know, alone and in pain and all those things, Jesus Christ was right there feeling the same exact thing. You know, I don't know if you've ever read books on people that have really suffered for the Lord. You know, some of you guys read Brother Yun, you know, the Heavenly Man, you know, or some of you guys maybe have read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or, you know, these accounts, historical accounts of people that really suffer for God. When you read their stories, there's a interwoven theme, a truth in every single one, that they'll say that while they're going through the pain and persecution, they felt the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ even more while they're in prison, while they're getting tortured, while they were dying. You know, I mean, they just felt the presence even more. You know, there's a really famous story in Fox's Book of Martyrs about this guy. And this is when the church was persecuting Christians, you know, the whole England, you know, all this kind of happening, right? And so and they used to burn people at the stake, right? Christians, you know, they'd light, you know, a fire under them. And this person is having this discussion with his church, basically with his group. And he's telling them, and he's the first one that's going to step out in faith. And he said that you'll know if God is with me, right? That when the flames come, you know, and because he felt like even when he was going to die, even the flames absorb his body, that he wasn't going to feel any pain because the presence of Jesus was going to be there. And he said that when that happens, he said, if I lift my hands up to the Lord, he says, you'll know that this is bearable and that Christ and God is with me, right? And it's a beautiful story. And so, obviously, the other believers are afraid. They're kind of hiding in the woods as this guy is being burned, at the cross, basically. You know, and while the flames are coming on, you know, I mean, he's in flame. And the story says he started lifting up his hands to the Lord. And it's like an angelic being. And he was telling all of his friends, all of his other Christians that were hiding. He said, hey, in those times, Christ will be there. You know, I mean, it's just so beautiful. I mean, it's actually, every Christian should read Fox's Book of Martyrs, right? And and the Lord, right? When we hurt, he hurts. When we're sad, he's sad, right? When we're struggling, he's struggling. You know, he's with us every step of the way. Why are you persecuting me? He says, right? And he continues on and Saul gets supernaturally saved. We see an incredible miracle, right? Ananias sees a vision, you know, and people always ask, well, you know, with God, what do you mean God speaks to you? What is that? Do you hear the audible voice? No, it's very rarely, even in the Bible, did they hear audible voice, right? It says very clearly that he saw a vision and God spoke to him in a vision. Yesterday morning, sitting or standing right there, I got a vision, right? And God spoke to me. You know, am I super spiritual? No, just a regular dude, right? Just like everybody else. This is what God does, right? This is what Holy Spirit does in our day. You know, and so he gets saved radically, right? Notice that Ananias receives a vision. Saul also received the same one because he said, this guy already received the vision that you're going to come and lay hands on him, so do it, right? And so there's confirmation that's there. He gets up, he gets saved, right? And then next thing you know, right? And this is the question, when do you have to wait before you can go into ministry? Right? Right? My question is, right, do you need to go to seminary? And do you need to read the whole Bible 100 times? You know, do you need to, you know, be educated in the things of God before you can be a witness for Him? No. So it says right here in verse 20, he was with the disciples, and then it says, immediately he began to proclaim, right, in the synagogue, that Jesus is the Christ. Immediately. You know, and so much so, he says, and when he went, he was confounding the Jews, right, concerning the Messiah. You know, you don't need to go to seminary. You don't need to go to school. I mean, all that stuff's a little helpful, right? But to be a witness, you know, to proclaim Jesus Christ, you can do it as soon as you get saved. And it's probably some of the most effective times that you'll ever have, right? And so don't think that you're ever unqualified. You know what I mean? Don't ever think that you're uninitiated or, you know, whatnot. No, everything you need is already within you, right? And that's what Saul, right? All this stuff, it was already in him. And he began to be released in the ministry. And then in 22, and it says, and he kept on being strengthened, right? He's out doing the stuff, and strength is just coming over him again and again and again, right? More and more strength, you know, and you know, when the strength came, then that's when the confounding of the Jews began to come. Now, next thing you know, as he increased strength, the Jews begin to plot to kill him. Again, right? They're breaking their own moral code, right? They're breaking their own law. They're not allowed to do that. You know, you're not allowed to just get someone and just kill them. There is a very lengthy trial process that takes place, you know, as I discussed before. And then he comes, sorry, and verse 31 is a summary statement, right? So things are moving along. But just before that, we get introduced to Barnabas. Here's Saul, poor guy, right? He wants to hang out with the other Christians. You know what I mean? He just wants to, you know, be around with people that think like him now and stuff. And the other guys reject him because they still think he's Saul, the guy that killed, you know, Christians, right? And then this incredible figure, and we were introduced to him in chapter 7, right? Barnabas comes on the scene. Actually, before that, because he's just before Ananias died. And Barnabas comes on the scene. And remember, Barnabas' name was the son of encouragement. And he literally takes Paul under his wings. And I'll talk about that later in the book of Acts. You'll see a transfer that occurs in essence of authority. Barnabas takes Saul under his wings and introduces him to the church. You know, and then as that happens, peace begins to flow in the church. Right? And you know, just thinking about this, you know, every single one of us, you know, we need a Barnabas. You know what I mean? Like, now, I'm talking outside of the realm of God now, okay? I'm talking about on earth. You know, obviously, Jesus is our son of encouragement, right? He's the capital S son of encouragement. Barnabas is a small s son of encouragement, right? But on earth, every single one of us, we need a Barnabas in our life. You know, we need someone to believe in us when no one else believes in us, right? We need someone to walk with us and just, you know, take us under their wings, right? And just, you know, live life together. Now, hopefully that's your spouse, right? You know, but I'm not even talking about marriage stuff, right? You know, hopefully there's even right now, I hope and pray that there's a Barnabas in your life, you know? And if there isn't, number one, pray for one, but two, even more important, you be Barnabas to someone in your life, right? You know, take someone under your wings, right? You be a brother or a sister. You know, you be the son or daughter of encouragement to someone, you know, in their lives, right? And then, you never know, you may be Barnabases to each other, you know, in that way, right? That you know, something, you know, because we all need this. You know what I mean? You know, and I pray that after today, you start looking around, you know, and you start connecting with people. You know, I know, you know, a while back before we started house churches, we had accountability groups, right? And instead of an accountability group, you know, how about just an accountability person? But not just accountability, right? Just friendship, you know? And just a connection, a bond, you know, with someone on earth, right? Just like Saul. Saul, he needed this, you know? And we need this in our life. Then at the end of this, we just get introduced to Peter again. And this pretty much, we'll hear a little bit more about Peter, and then that'll be closed out, you know? But Peter, right? I mean, just incredible, man, right? He heals a dude for 8 years, right, that's paralyzed in bed, and then he raises someone from the dead. That's just crazy, you know? And this is the key, right? New Testament miracles, always the result of the miracles, right? People turn to the Lord, you know? In both of these, right, it says people turn to the Lord, or there was a great sense of awe, you know, or people glorified God, you know? And that's exactly what happened, right? They turn to Jesus. So let's close our eyes. There's a bit of application today. Do you have a Barnabas in your life? Someone that just believes in you, no questions asked. If you have one, man, just really thank the Lord and just bless that person in prayer today. If you don't have one, go be one. Pray about someone that you can just really encourage. Be that son or daughter of encouragement. To really believe in this person. No questions asked. And then, your assignment this week, right, is to encourage that person. Take them under your wings. That doesn't mean that you are superior than that person. No, nothing like that. It doesn't mean you're more mature either. Just pray about that this morning. Identify, and then go bless. Let's pray together.
Spend some time and it's just pray for yourself. Just pray that that you'd be faithful, that you operate in anointing, that power would proceed in all that you do, and a prayer, the real prayerful hearts that we seek the Lord this year. Huh? Let's just cover ourselves this morning. Let's pray for Noah's Ark. Let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim and all the teachers. Let's pray for all the kids that a real foundation, a biblical foundation, would be put inside of them. Pray for just a really caring, loving community where the kids can really be able to express themselves, be themselves, and really grow in Christ. Let's just cover the ministry, and let's pray for protection over all the kids. Let's cover Noah's Ark. Let's go to House Church Focus to play for Cain Road House Church. Or soon, will be, I guess it will be called McCain Road, right? And let's pray for Jimmy and Boyoung and ask the Lord to continue to bless, especially Bo as she's pregnant right now. Pray for all the members of the House Church. Pray for a real significant ministry to happen, a real community. There would be a real sense of belonging at McCain Road. And so let's just cover this House Church. Let's go to our member prayer focus to pray for our brother John Kang. Pray for a real breakthrough in his relationship with God, that the Lord place a consuming fire in his heart for him, and that he would cling to what is good and hate what is evil, that he would acknowledge the Lord first in everything that he does. Continue to pray for health and protection over his parents, and you know, praise God that John's mom was healed of cancer earlier this year, and she's in remission, and pray that the parents who are saved will come to know the Lord in a new and exciting way in 09, and particularly that his dad would passionately seek after the Lord. So let's just cover John and his family. Let's pray for our sister Angela. Let's pray that her dad and her grandmother's hearts will be softened and that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray for Angie. Let's pray for our brother Matt. Let's pray that he would know God's love in a greater capacity, the Father's love. Let's pray for complete victory and breakthrough from attacks on his mind, confusion, fear, a lack of joy. Pray for restoration of love and passion for the Lord, pure and refined passion to leap out of the jar like the flea illustration I gave a long time ago, to love the house church members more with the love that comes from God, more spiritual discernment, to live in the supernatural by faith. Continued healing and restoration and fullness in his family, the relationship with one another and with the Lord, and a real financial miracle and blessing over his job this year, and to live by faith and obey God faithfully concerning his relationship and marriage. Let's cover Matt. Lord, we thank you, God, that you feel everything that we feel, God. We thank you, Lord, that you're walking with us, God, that you've not forgotten about us, Lord, that when you went to heaven, God, it wasn't good riddance, Lord, but that you're still Emmanuel, God, that's with us. And so help us to live in the reality, God, that you're right here, God, and you feel all that we feel, Father, and you walk with us, Lord. God, bless our day today. God, help us to be a Barnabas to someone around us. God, help us to appreciate the Barnabases that are in our lives, Lord. God, and just lead us today, God. We bind our will to your will, Father God. Use us, Lord, to bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.